All right, go right ahead. Any shares, use the Q&A button or the chat window.
Yeah, like how was that for you? All those little exercises.
All right. Well, totally fair. If there is no questions or shares or comments,
maybe
no pressure.
Maybe they're off having fun already.
Does an unsurrendered man also attract unpresent women, or is it only the other way around? Yeah, that's probably working just like that as well. And you know, there's a thing with this, and how we talk about it here, and the David Data quote we gave is an unpresent man attracts an unsurrendered woman. There's a curious thing that an unpresent man is often also an unsurrendered man. Even if I'm not, you know, and how we play out the examples today in this role division, then I'm the leader and she's the follower as we set up. And she's surrendering to my lead, but I am also surrendering to my own, really it's my intuition or the lead that comes from spirit or from my heart. Wherever you think the source of inspiration is, I need to be surrendered to that. When I'm not present and I'm, you know, kind of like the first one we demonstrated, like slouching and, you know, with a question mark, I'm not in touch with my own inspiration or power. That means I'm also not surrendered.
So it really is. I mean, I know we're using different words, but really we're both being totally there in our full potential. We're both being totally in power. We're both being in an open heart. We're both giving to each other. We're both following our own impulse. We're both being fully expressed. And we're meeting each other from this point of power. And from that, you can recreate that spark. So even though we're using different words, it really is kind of the same state that we're both in. And whether I'm surrendering to spirit or I'm surrendering to him, it's the same move. It really is the same move of trusting this energy that's moving through and letting it have its way.
And you can also say, you know, you talk about an unsurrendered man. You know, an unsurrendered man is all too normal. I used to be a man like that. It's, you know, it's basically, it's just a man who can't be in touch with his heart, his feelings, his vulnerability, his soft side, his receptivity, you know, I totally used to be like that. And, you know, it's all about going out there doing. All I'm doing is I'm putting out stuff. I'm putting out energy. I don't really receive much of anything. That is also an unsurrendered man. And it's very hard for me as such a man to have any sort of real heartfelt satisfaction.
So right. One of the questions we got here is, what if doing these exercises brings up sadness or anger?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking that.
Yeah, very great question. And you know, often when, so there's a couple of different ways to answer this. Sometimes when I get what I want, it presences for me how much I have missed it, right? So sometimes I'll feel really sad or mad because it's been missing for all of this time. Sometimes it re-stimulates experiences from the past that I have incomplete feelings about that really need to be talked about or processed. And sometimes it's because there's something I'm not wanting right now and I'm wanting something else. And I just need to use that feeling, just like we did from the second course session here. I need to move from what do I not want? What am I wanting? And what can I do here in partnership with you to create more of that experience of what I'm wanting? So use it as an opening for further conversation. Be wary of taking that, you know, the person who is the partner, somebody who's having a lot of feelings, be careful to not take that personally, like it's something about you. You know, it is a stepping stone towards both of you creating something even better together.
And if feelings of sadness or anger or anything else comes up during the exercise, a great thing to try is just stay in the connection with each other. So let's say we just did the exercise, boom, and there is sadness and anger or something else there. Just stay connected with each other and notice that run through your system. Let yourself cry, grind your teeth. You can say, wow, I notice I'm feeling so fucking angry right now.
And if you're the one hearing that, like, a really great thing to say is thanks for saying that. And if you want to talk about it, you can do the same process we did from the second class, right? So what is it you're not wanting? What do you want? What's the experience you're after? So you bring yourself back to the desired experience rather than staying stuck in an undesired experience. Yeah,
but use the sadness or anger or whatever it is, use it to get deeper with each other, to stay connected, as opposed to use it for, oh, this means we shouldn't be doing this, or yeah, I'm going to go away. Great question.
Yeah.
Someone says, that was great, all these exercises. We're going to have fun doing these. Great. Let's see what this question is here. Is this about changing to match your partner? If they approach as, just as an example, convex, you become concave. If they approach as concave, you become convex. Like, what I'm hearing in this question is it about me? If your answer is it about me accommodating my partner? No, that's not, if that's what you mean, no, that is not what it's about. It's really for me to, it's almost the opposite, actually, in that it's for me to come, in this case, with my, let's say it's, I want to have sex, okay, or I want to take her out to dinner. But let's just stay with the sex example. It's always a good example. It's for me to simply own that full-heartedly. No excuses. I want that. And no matter what shape you are, I am going to bring my shape. So I might be round or square, and whatever that is, I'm going to bring round or square. By doing so with presence and an open heart and power behind it, I am likely to inspire you to want to dance with my form, whatever you call the form. I am likely to inspire in you saying, wow, that looks like something I would like to join with, have fun with, and dance with. As opposed to, if I'm not really owning my own form, that's the first example we did, like, you know, really I'm wanting to have sex and invite that, but I'm not really behind it, so I'm like, yeah, you know. All that inspires is to move away from whatever my form is at the time. I'm not sure that I'm not sure that answered your question.
It's really actually why we call it leading. You know, because you're the one that's setting the tone or the stage for what is going to happen next and how you're going to move. And it takes a lot. I really want to acknowledge for a lot of men stepping into the masculine role, especially given all of the conditioning in our culture to, you know, be a nice guy, is it can feel to you like you're stepping into that horrible version of masculine and that you're not going to be received by your partner, that you're going to be met with criticism and, you know, disapproval. So it can be really scary to step in. And I want to underline what Christian said about staying in there. Because when Christian stays present with me, no matter what's going on with me, I change. It's like the energy gets to move. So if I'm sad or I'm mad, I just cry, stays there, and it moves through. And then, you know, love and openness is often on the other side of that, right? Why I'm sad is because I miss being close to him. Why I'm sad is because I want that. So when he stays present and lets the feelings move through, rather than if he matches my resistance with resistance, we're never going to get anywhere. You know, that's why we call it even more leading and surrendering, leading and following, sometimes more than masculine and feminine, because it really is setting, like, I'm directing the course. I'm saying, you know, I'm saying we're going to go in this direction. We're going to step into this energy.
Yeah, cool. And if that wasn't your, if that didn't address your question, feel free to put a clarification in there. Anybody else? Last call for comments or questions. Oh, here, let me see the Q&A box here. My partner was uncomfortable with the power exercise suggestions. Yes, that happens quite frequently. Okay, here, sorry, there's a correction. She was uncomfortable being tight against the wall. Great. Well, first I want to say good for you both that you tried that. Seriously, high fives for doing that. For many of us, it's pretty damn uncomfortable doing it because it's so far out of our normal realm of behavior. When you are uncomfortable with that, great. Adjust, experiment. So if I have Sonica up against the wall and she's uncomfortable, what would you do?
Well, there's kind of two responses. So there's two kinds of signals we get from discomfort. One sign of discomfort is we're just not used to doing it. You know, like really anytime we do anything new, it feels weird. It feels uncomfortable. So if you're not used to doing this stuff, it's going to be uncomfortable. It just is. There's another kind of discomfort, which is this is too far crossing a line. I need to draw a boundary here. This isn't okay with me. Or I'm not ready to go here yet. Or I'm not ready to go here this far now. So you kind of have to assess which one of those it is. And based on which one of those it is it something you want to do again? Or is it something you want to modify and change up? You know, so really it depends on your definition of where the source of the discomfort is coming from.
Right. If it's just physical discomfort from being in a weird position up against the wall, you can ask for feedback and adjust, say, hey, do it again, but a little slower.
Or maybe you try playing with it on the bed. Definitely softer, you know, roll around on the bed, like you kind of wrestle. You could even take turns, you know, you could have a little fight about who's going to be on top and kind of have a little wrestling match about that. There are so many different ways to play with this energy and to experiment with where you are in it. Sometimes the discomfort too, I will say for a lot of us women is, you know, we've had, I mean, you know, rape and abuse and incest. I mean, there's just a lot of women have had some pretty horrific sexual experiences and times when somebody has inappropriately used force over them. So often that can be a re-stimulating experience that they want to avoid. And a really great thing to do in those situations is to really play with this energy, like sort of fighting to be on top or play with finding your power in that exchange. So you know you are absolutely in this moment at choice. You get to say what you want to do and what you don't want to do and what's okay and what's not okay, which is why we start off these exercises by making sure you give permission, you know, and for a lot of women, this actually can be a pretty healing experience for them with a lot of those experiences. Like, oh, wow, I can actually handle somebody else's power and force and still stay in my power and still stay totally here at choice.
Yeah, and have the experience that, wow, the force that in the past might have been used hurtfully against me and against my will, when it comes with an open heart, and someone who is present, like my partner, it can be perfectly safe. So I can enjoy the good portions of that active, dynamic energy while being perfectly safe.
You know, one of the exercises we do at one of our workshops is we'll have women raise their hands. Like, you know, if you have ever been afraid of men, you know, if you've ever been terrified or abused or, you know, like raise your hand. And every woman in the room will raise their hands.
Every single one, no exceptions ever, at least in our experience.
And then we will ask the men, please stand if you are a man who would protect a woman who was in danger, even if you didn't know her.
And we have never not had any man stand up. All the men, they just stand up, all of them.
And the women just start crying. You know, there's like tears floating down our faces because it hasn't occurred to most of us that the same men we're afraid of are the same ones who would rush into our aid. And we've just heard so many stories. There was one guy who said, you know, he was coming home from someplace and he was at an intersection where a guy was beating up his girlfriend. And he said within seconds, like 5 men had stopped and gotten out of their car to take down this guy and protect this woman until the police came. So these experiences of energy are in part, how do you recreate for yourself this experience of feeling held and protected and safe. When Christian does these with me, I feel his presence. I feel his care. And I feel him being so tuned in that if I stopped in the slightest, or I'm a little bit like, he is tentative. He's paying attention to that and dancing with me, just like that energy dance, right? It's like if he feels me back off, he lightens up a little bit, but he doesn't go away. He stays present with me so that my body can find its point of love and power and surrender in that exchange. So yeah, keep playing with it, and really acknowledgements to both of you for being willing to play with that energy.
Yeah, here, one more question. If we're playing the follower this week, should we then not be the one to make decisions and make plans? Well, you could set it up that way. We could agree to say, like, for the whole week, I'll be leading or you'll be leading. We could do that. Maybe more realistically, you try it in smaller segments.
That's what I'd recommend.
So it's not the whole week in every domain. That might be a little too hard to pull off for starters. So, and it's also, it's actually not realistic, because over this week, we're going to change this role many times just because we naturally do, even if you don't have any attention on it. So set it up in smaller increments. Say, I'll lead, let me lead Saturday night. I'll take the lead on what we do, where we go, and where we end up.
I'm going to take the lead on the family activities tonight, after dinner, before bedtime. I'm taking care of the kids tonight. You know, you get to go rest. I'm going to be in charge. You know, you can do it around little pieces like that, or you want to set it up to win.
Yeah, and you could ask each other, so do I have your permission to, at any given time this week, to try grabbing your hand and taking a walk like we did in that class?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So now I know I don't have to ask first every little time I want to do it. I can just do it, knowing that if anything doesn't work for her at the time, she'll tell me.
And men just practice this whole presence power piece. It's a really big one. You know, she's doing dishes. Just go stand up behind her and just be really present. When you're passing in the hallway, look at her with that piercing presence and tell her how beautiful she is.
Yeah, put your hand around, like, with enough firmness that she can feel you with no doubt that you're in there. Like, my heart and my mind is in my hands as well.
Yeah, sometimes the feeling is louder than, you know, the physical is louder than words.
Right. All right, friends. That'll be our time for today. Thank you so much for playing with us and for stepping into this sometimes uncomfortable territory. Great that you were willing to do that.
I am going to post up an article I wrote about Christian staying with me when I was resistant. So make sure you go check out the forum page, the discussion page on the forum. I'll post that there. It's a really powerful piece about the power of this dance and staying in there and what's required as we shift in and out of the masculine and feminine.
All right, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time where we're going to talk about sex.
Yeah, be gentle and patient as you play with this stuff, because it'll stir some stuff up and hopefully some good stuff too.